So you're up late at night schmoozing clients at your apparent workplace instead of focusing on the important stuff, which is this highly, highly, you know, public, publicized, financially huge podcast of ours, Ben. Is that what you're telling me? Is that why I'm waiting till 9 o'clock to start recording?
100%. 100%.
Bloody stitch up. And here I was slaving away.
Dinner with clients at Fuji Dim Sum on Field Street, Adelaide. Just off Gujar Street, if you've been to Adelaide and the Chinatown precinct. Absolutely fantastic dinner with a good friend of mine, client, their family, my family, doing the things. He owns a computer shop, told me how I can route my internet from upstairs to downstairs so my wife, who works from home primarily, can work with better internets. And yeah, favorite dish is the lemon chicken, and I know that sounds highly generic from a Chinese point of view, but it actually comes out with slices of lemon on it, and the lemon factor is really high. So
buddy, yeah, having Westernese food, look at you go, look at you
Westernese. Ladies, gentlemen, miscreants, deviants, and 40k players, and all of those that meet multiple criteria of that very, very eloquent introduction. It has been a while, and it has been a while for a couple of reasons, because my co-host and I did a recording from TerraCon on the Friday night with many guests, and let's just say that our Riverside account has many sound bites from that very evening, and we just haven't pieced it all together, and it just seems all too hard, and everyone that we interviewed has said, when's it going up, and the short answer is not yet. This will be up before that.
Yeah, the long answer is a lot more complicated than that.
I have listened to pieces of it. Michael gave me access to his Riverside account. I've been in there, I've listened to a few of the things, and look, it all sounds great, and the contributions that we had from Nathan, Callan, and Phil were all amazing, and it will go up, but patience, my love.
Pretty much, guys, it's like we have made no secret from the very beginning, we are
average.
Amateur average 40k players, amateur average, less than, I'd say even less than average podcasters, to be honest, if I'm going to be up front, and technology does not often like to be our friend, but we're here. We're excited with episode 6, the prelude to 10th, literally kicking down our doorstep with Leviathan.
It's the night before, isn't it?
Very it is. Much so. It was the night before 10thmas, and all around the house, everybody was shaking, even the bloody mouse. So, yeah, Leviathan drops officially tomorrow.
10th drops
happening.
Tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
it's happening.
We're
it's
expecting a day one FAQ on Eldar.
Yeah, I think the problem with Eldar is some of their points are just a bit too rough. So they're going to need to go in and adjust some of those points. Wraithguard, Wraithblades need to go back to 3 pluses, not this 4 pluses rubbish. So hopefully they'll get fixed in the right way where they get their appropriate buffs that they need. Look, in all seriousness, I have had lots of people say lots of things about Eldar, and they've said, oh my god, they're so broken, oh my god, they're this, oh my god, they're that. And my comment to the vast majority of these people has been, just wait, be patient. At the end of the day, if they are as broken as everyone believes, Games Workshop is now in a position where they will definitely do something about it. But we've lived through the terrors of Iron Hands, of Crusher Stampede, of Admech at their worst, of Drakari, Harlequins. Like, first of all, just wait. Second of all, good. Give us our time in the sun. Bugger off. Let us be broken as hell for a little bit. It's been a while since we've been broken. I'm looking forward to, personally, never putting 3 Wraith Knights on the table. But I'm excited.
They're big, flimsy models. They're a pain in the ass to take to a tourney.
Like, yeah, look, If you're committed, you'll make it work.
If you're committed, you'll make it work, but I think it's almost like a challenge from G-dubs. Hey, we're going to make Wraith Knights good, but I dare you to take them.
They just haven't sold them in a while. That's the problem. It's been a while since they've been good, so now G-dub's sitting there with a lot of stock, and like, it's probably the only thing they've got of Bloody Elder and the bloody warehouses, so they're like, oh, let's make these things amazing. But yeah, look, how do you feel about what you've heard about Eldar, Ben? Are you, as a burgeoning Eldar player?
Yeah, look, I have not played a single game of Eldar ever, so I'm not the authority to answer, respond, whatever. Probably my perception's probably more on how we thinking 10th is. And there is a lot of podcasts out there at the moment, and some are giving it an absolute scathing. Some are being immature, some are being grown up. And I'm going to shout out to them because I really don't care. The Fireside Chat with BJ and David Gaylard, they actually tore strips off 10th edition in their recent podcast, and they're quite open about it. I don't think it's helping the game any, and I hope that the only people listening to it are those that are veterans of the game. And to their point, though, I hope that their frustrations were heard by G-dubs. But then I listened to a really good podcast last night, Best in Tabletop, with Colin and his team, and they said, right, let's be mature about this. Let's talk about what's good about it. Let's talk about what could be better. Let's talk about where it needs to improve, and let's do it in a mature way. And that was a fantastic podcast. Those guys at Best in Tabletop are fantastic, and I think that they've been really mature about it, because one thing we do know is that data slates happen, they balance, and these things happen every 3 months. GT mission packs, the whole kit caboodle. As for Eldar, look, I've only heard what I've heard, and that's all I can say, really.
Yeah, you make some really, really good points. I've got a couple of people that contact me, message me. They're like, oh, so-and-so said this, what do you think about this, or this and this. And the joy of being in Australia and being so bloody far away from so many other people is, just like our meta, just like our kind of mindset is, we don't really give a stuff. We don't really care what other people think. We're gonna make it what we want to make of it, and we're really excited for that. I can't wait for the new edition, because I've waited long enough. People going, oh my god, it's so different, oh, it's so changed. Most major editions do that. So I guess my big thing is, give it a bit, give it a few months, give yourself some time to get used to it, see what the first codexes are like. We haven't even seen a codex. We're just seeing indexes. It's like when 8th dropped and all we have is indexes. Like, there's no point jumping the gun. There's no point getting too excited or too positive, too negative. I mean, at the end of the day,
we're not even day one of a 3-year edition here, and the negativity's flowing. And this proves why major corporations hire divisions, and they call them change divisions. Change management is a buzzword in any major business, and because people don't like change, people get comfortable, and we were all comfortable with 9th. We knew the rules, we knew the nuances, our grievances were aired, and then this whole new edition comes and they think it was just done so hastily and lazily. I tell you what, guys, this is a publicly listed company. Like, GW has PLC in their email. Like, if you want to complain about the FAQ, you've got to go FAQ at GWPLC, publicly listed company. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a publicly listed company, and they have an obligation to their shareholders to make this work. I had my first game of 10th last night.
How'd you go?
I took my knights, because Space Marines were just a bit overwhelming, and One thing data I sheets. Love is my Knights and World Eaters have a... Yeah, the indexes for Knights and World Eaters were limited to, like, one page. Like, one page of options. Space Marines was 2 pages. It was, like, all alphabetized. And I was like, holy shit, what do I take? What's good? What's bad? What's in? What's out? And my gaming team, the Abbey Hunters, our chat just went mental. Take a Judicio with your Blade Guard. Take this, make sure this guy's leading that. This is in, this is out. And I was just like, oh my god. Oh my god. What are knights doing? Oh great, it's just Noble Lance. It's just Noble Lance. There's six stratagems. There's two different ways to become honored. I took Canis Rex, a Crusader, a Gallant, four Helverins, and a Warglaive, and I tabled an Ultramarines list end of turn three.
Rough. I mean, I know people have been talking pretty enthusiastically about ye old Eldar and how broken they are, but I've heard a few murmurings about the fact that knights and that towering keyword are quite interesting. I mean, I really struggled when a certain GT turned around and said, before anything happened, we are banning Eldar from our GT because they won't have an FAQ. And I went, right, so you're going to remove one entire codex because they don't have an FAQ, but you're going to allow every other codex that doesn't have one.
Yep.
And I just kind of went, I'm so glad I'm not there, because if I'd have bought tickets, you know, Eldar are my primary army, and someone turned around and said, oh, you can't play that because it's that. Like, I don't care if you put restrictions in. I'm a pretty reasonable dude. If you turn and say, oh, and this is before we knew anything, you can't take 9 D cannons, I'd look at that and go, alright, fair enough, I won't take 9 D cannons. You can't take 3 Wraith Knights, I'm like, cool, wasn't going to anyway. But to just turn around and blanket ban one of a new army at a new edition, like, it's different when it's like, we're not going to allow them until they have a codex and an FAQ. But when I read that, I was like, alright, some people are just, they're really, really out of touch.
It's not just out of touch, it's just they, I'm sure that all they're trying to do is create a positive experience for people, and part of that positive experience is taking the power creep out. But like, you face 20 Desolators in 9th edition, it's broken.
Oh, Cassican mobs that can drop down and do 18 mortal wounds, like, oh, that's fine. That seems legit. And it's like, well, you can't always have your cake and eat it too.
No, and look, I went 3-3 at Terracon.
Congrats.
Thank you. I grudged Matt Morisoli as my first game. Now the adverb is push shit in. That didn't happen. there was lube involved, but look, I had a positive experience. I played Matt, and look, if anyone plays demons and you want to talk about power creep, they are broken as an army. I had to play demons twice over 6 games at a GT. That 4 up invuln across their army is broken. The fact that I had this ravaging demon horde coming at me my second to last game, and they just wouldn't fail a 4 up, that's broken. In my opinion, I have a squad of Eradicators deep strike within 9 of some Nurgle. I forget what they're called, the big fat guys that just.
Nurgle beasts?
If you don't kill them, they just regenerate their wounds. So beasts, you get 3 Eradicators, yeah, hitting on 3s, rerolling 1s, wounding on 3s. They all hit, they all wound, and they do d6 plus 4 wounds. And they make enough saves to not die. That's broken. But then again, I had some positive experiences. I played 2 guys that had never played a tournament before, and I helped them out rather than absolutely wipe the table with them. Hey, don't do that, do this. Hey, don't do that, do this. Look, I still scored high, so did they, though.
Yeah, okay. And, so that good sportsmanship they, we talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And their next few games were fantastic. And they came up to me at the pub later on that night and said, oh, I took on what you said and I won my next game and I didn't need any help. Fantastic. Oh. And you know what? I'm going to see them at a tournament again.
Yeah.
And I think going back to what you're saying, Michael, is these people just want a positive experience for everyone at a tournament, because there are people actually out there that will take 9 D cannons and 2 Wraith Knights and just table someone and get some delight out of that. I personally would not. Would you?
Look, I have been someone who's taken a fully tuned list, and I've been someone who's taken a fun, fluffy list and gone in and seen someone who's done that. And I guess my kind of thought process there is that if you're going to a tournament setting, a competitive tournament setting, and it's clear, it's like it's got GT in the name, okay, it's a grand tournament. Like, yep, if that's what you're going games. In,
yep,
then you can have some wherewithal and some foresight to go, okay, if I'm going to a tournament, a competitive tournament, I'm going to see competitive lists. And that's fine. That's what tournaments are for. You don't have to take the competitive list. You don't have to play that style if you want. But if you're going to a tournament, I don't think you should punish others for playing a tournament style list. And my big problem is that you're right. There are people who will take, you know, they'll min-max, but they'll min-max with anything. So, like, just denying an entire player base their opportunity to play the tournament because of those who would do it. And you go, oh, I can't do it with Eldar. What's the very next broken thing that's allowed? Oh, yep. It's this. Okay, I'll take... Like, they're going to be there anyway. They're going to have 20, whatever army they think.
It's 20 Desolators with the Second Oath of Moment buff by Bobby G. You want to talk about broken? Like, that is broken.
It's... Like, so, like, cool, you removed...
Have Elder had their day in the sun? Like,
we are definitely have. We still have units that are paying for their sins of Yunari.
Yep.
We have our flyers that have never been as good as they were when you could make them literally unhittable. If you had a space marine that goes to shoot them and go, cool, I'm actually -4 to hit, so you need sevens on dice. So we have had periods of absolute gut stomping. But we're not alone. We're definitely not the only one. And like I said, if this person had said for the very first tournament, like, they wanted to put restrictions on, cool. I've got no problems with that. As long as you give me plenty of warning, you're going to turn around and say, you can't take any Wraith Knights. Oh, cool. Whatever. I don't care. But to just turn around and say to everyone, no, you can't take this because you're too good. It's like you're getting punished for having good rules. And so, that's where I struggle with, because I've been to events, Ben, where they go, oh, we'll cap this by saying you must have X amount of this, you know, you must have X amount of troops. And I'm like, okay, cool. So because I have really bad troops, I'm actually really punished. But this army that has great troops, say it is demons, like, oh, they have fantastic troops. So they're being rewarded for something that they just have. So I think that's why when it comes to tournaments and balance, and especially with 10th just dropping, like, You can't be too restrictive. You can't be, because otherwise... Games Workshop... Is Games Workshop going to see, oh, this guy didn't let this army, or they're going to go, well, Eldar didn't get any data from this, so maybe they don't need to change. We need good and bad data to inform. Yeah. What do you think, Ben?
I don't think the game will ever be balanced in the way that people want to see it. I don't think it'll ever be... Every army is mathematically just as likely to beat the next army. I think there needs to be some player...
Skill,
yeah.
Flavor.
And I'm going to call it tenacity. Like, you need to look at combos. That's part of what we do. Like the Knights list that I took last night, I took Canis Rex, who would have been totally off my, you know, radar had Callan Henry not suggested it. My errant suffered as a result of Gallant. I took Crusader. And it's that player tenacity that, I guess, makes us as individual, as much as each list is, as much as working with combos and seeing how buffs work and triggers, and people that play deck building games, card games, they know exactly what we're talking about. MTG, for instance, Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever. The Germans that have made certain restrictions for this weekend, And David Gaillard and Vic Vijay spoke about a couple of rules in 10th that they think are inherently broken. And I just want to talk about my experience last night with my first game. So they're talking about Overwatch being broken. So you can literally Overwatch at the start end of any point of the movement phase. So it's not just a charge. So they're talking about multiple units moving in the movement phase and them having to say, well, do you want to Overwatch? Do you want to Overwatch? It's like you have to invite your opponent to do something, because there's more than one way to get multiple Overwatches off. Look, I played Liam Fletcher last night. We were both playing two very gunline lists. It's just a case of I just played the game. If he wants to Overwatch, he'll tell me. I'm like, I'm moving this here, I'm moving this here. I'm not going to invite him to Overwatch. Has anyone ever invited someone to Overwatch?
Only
No.
when they're baiting. Only when they're baiting. Like, oh,
Correct.
do you want to
Do you want Overwatch?
overwatch
Or do you want to interrupt in a fight phase? Like, for instance. And I was just like, that, I think that's a totally irrelevant whinge. Do I think it is necessary? Look, I can see how they've done it, why they've done it. And I guess if you look at the reality of modern warfare, such an Overwatch thing would occur at multiple intervals. And it's not just when someone runs at you. You see the enemy move, you're going to shoot, aren't you? So I think that's it's okay. Then they're talking about towering. Now, if you look at towering, it works reciprocally because you can
Because when you
stand
tower
behind.
over me, I can see you, even though you can see me,
Yeah,
because you're like
correct.
10
It's
feet tall and I'm
like
5 feet tall. Yeah, sounds about right.
it's kind of reciprocal. It's like you can see me, I can see you. Why is that? All right, you've got to deploy a little bit better. Fly, they've made it 3D. Now, they have reduced the movement of a lot of fly models by about 2 inches, I'd say. Yep.
Yeah, most things seem to be
And
about two.
now, if you want to fly over that piece of terrain that is 20 inches high, guess what? You've got to fly 20 inches to get over the top of it. Or you can go around it. If you think of how a normal flyer would move, that is how it would move. Does it upset players? Yeah, sure. It upset me as a Space Marine player because one of the first things I used to do when I'd take Oath a Moment is just drop a land speeder in the middle of the battlefield and say, you can either come deal with this or you can leave it there.
I'll get points.
I get 2 points if you don't deal with it. And guess what? I got another one sitting there waiting behind it. And it was just a 16-inch move from my deployment into the middle to get those 2 points. And I would max out those Oath of Moment points with having a land speeder. And guess what? It's got a multi-melter and it's going to shoot at something if you get too close to me anyway. Guess what? Now I can't do that. Now it has to get around, it has to do a few things, it has to move in a 3D format. Some people say it's broken. I don't know. Let's give it a try. Let's see how it goes. Concurrently, I don't think it's going to be as easy for opponents to move, those janky flyer models in as quickly as they used to. So, it's give and take. It's not just me that suffers, it's everyone else with flyer models that suffer. We're not talking about aircraft here either, people. It's just fly. Aircraft has its own issues. And now people are also talking about combat. Combat's broken because you can't wrap anymore. You can't make your. We had a few combats last night, and I didn't feel it being a problem. It sort of took me back to second edition a little bit. But if you're a nutty GSC player, you're going to have to look at longer charges if you want to wrap, and that's what GSC do with all their neophyte hybrids. And you're just going to have to plan your movement a little bit more.
So you're telling me that with a new addition, people are going to have to play a new way of the game.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, Ben. How dare you
But
tell me I
hang
can't
on,
keep
guess
on playing
what?
the same old edition?
We aren't endorsed by GW yet, and
Yeah, if you're
we're
listening,
not gunning
GW.
for it. No, and I'm actually going to drop a password in here, and the password is Juggernaut. And if you message us that password, like, share, subscribe, and give a 5-star review, and drop that password via
Ha
via Messenger, Dragon's Lair, St. Mary's, there'll be a gift voucher sent to you. The winner will be chosen at random, but you have to have gotten to this point of the podcast to be eligible to win the prize. So the password is Juggernaut. What do you think, Minches? With look, your RTT this weekend?
Yeah, look, I really like what you're saying. Building on what Ben said, I'm actually in a fantastic position. I'm running an RTT in my house. Now, I know that there are definitely people around the country who have this option / opportunity, and I am now one of them with the new house that we have bought. I now have a dedicated hobby space. That dedicated hobby space is the double garage that has been fully decked out and converted. So I've invited 5 mates around. Those 5 mates that are coming around, we're going to literally have an RTT in my backyard, which is fantastic. I've picked mates who, look, I haven't got anywhere near as much of a handle on 10th as I would like, anything at all, because life's just gotten in the way, guys. It happens sometimes. It's been a bit of an up and down time for me. So we've got 5 mates coming around. I've got the day cleared out from the lovely partner. I literally have 3 tables that are going to be set up, 5 mates playing with me. I've got probably another 10 or 15 coming through during the day. They're just coming around to come check it out, hang out in the experience, check out what 10th looks like. I'm super excited. It's an opportunity I never thought I'd have, and now here I am. I think the way it's going, leading in right after this, pretty much next weekend. Next weekend there is a teams tournament in Brisbane that's being run with 10th, and I've had a couple of mates who reached out to me. I've had a lot of mates reach out and go, "Oh, are you playing?" I go, "No, my dad's partner's 50th, so I'm driving up to Sunshine Coast. I won't be here then." But I've had some other mates who've reached out and said, "Hey, if you're not playing, you know that Eldar armor you have? Could we like borrow 2,000 points of it?" And I've just been like, "Yes, yes, you can. What 2,000 points do you want?" And I've sat down with a couple of mates and helped them write lists. So I'm going to practice one of their lists for them. I've had some conversations with both. They're coming around. I've just been like, "Look, this is what I think could be cool without just being that guy. Hate being that guy. Don't want to be that guy. But here's some things I think are cool. These are some things that I would run. Go with that, guys. Go with that." So that's what's happening this weekend in my own house. Super excited. Shout out to everyone who's coming. Hoping, you know, you guys can talk about it once you've been there, what you thought, what you liked about it, if you thought T.O. was a massive dick. Look, I might be, but only if you make me sad and kill my pretty stuff. But yeah, Ben, why aren't you coming to my RTT?
You didn't invite me.
That's not true. I figured you wouldn't be able to fly up for an RTT in my house.
I did say to my lovely wife, who's sitting on the couch on her phone with a glass of wine, pretending not to hear that I'm talking about her, and she's like, "I can hear," your GT in September.
Yes.
I might have to go on the wait list to get a ticket.
Ooh.
But if I successfully get on the wait list and get one, that we'll do a family trip up to Brisvegas, because we both love Brisbane. And our dream is of retiring up there is well and truly alive and well. And look, we both love Brisbane, and she can do the sights and go to Kangaroo Cliffs and go up and down the Brisbane River and the city beach and the Botanic Gardens while I play hammers.
Mate, that sounds like a plan to me, and I can't wait to get you up here. And look, if I could get you here for this RTT, I would.
I would be there.
Oh, dude, I got a hell of a lot of cleaning to do because my room is currently a bit messy coming into the last days of term. But I'm going to have to take a fair few photos and post them up on the page.
Well, we can also formalise Ash's betrothal to Isla Quinn.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm willing to settle for all of your minis as the dowry.
Doesn't the woman pay the dowry?
Mate, not when you see how stunning this woman is. You'll see why the
Oh.
dowry's reversed.
And
It's a
here
reverse
comes
dowry.
the classic proud dad thing. I'm like, mate, I don't know. Like my little man, he's pretty damn cute. And his
It, does
latest
it
work,
come
you'll
down to
love
his
this.
knee? Does he come down to his knee?
Look, I'm not going to inflict that on anyone, but his latest word at the moment, and he does it with an accompanying hand movement, is now no, which his nana taught him, which is actually hilarious. I think it's word number 18 or 19 for him at
Nana,
15 months old.
not Omar.
No, nana. Mum's side is nana.
Okay.
Just to keep it confusing. But
Dad's
yeah,
side is,
so.
yeah. And does he watch Miss Rachel?
No, we don't watch Miss Rachel yet. We Elmo is the one true god. He Elmo is god
Elmo.
emperor in this household. He is god emperor, and it's pretty epic. But
Well, I do
he's
a
not even
good
gonna be in the
Elmo if I
house.
ever see him.
Yeah, he's not even gonna be in the house, so I will have zero distractions. I will have food, tunes, drinks, location.
Perfect.
And some really, really good mates coming around to figure out how to play this edition. So,
Yeah, man.
look, I
And
haven't banned anyone. I
are
haven't
you?
banned any codexes. I haven't thrown out you
Oh,
can't do these things.
you
Amateur.
Philistine. Do you have a Leviathan box to work with at some point? Is someone picking one up on the way, or?
Look, my fantastic friend John at Irresistible Force. I messaged him when I saw Leviathan was dropping and said, "Hey mate, can you put one aside?" And he said yes. And then about a month later, before everything went crazy, I messaged him and said, "Hey John, you know how you put one aside?" He goes, "Yeah." I was like, "Can you make it two?" And he's like, "Yeah, I got you." So I
I got
know
you.
for a fact there are two Leviathan boxes at Irresistible Force, Tanamira. My fantastic mate John has got them ready to go for me. I'll be able to walk in tomorrow at any point, give him my card, grab my stuff, and walk out a happy, happy man. So I have
Can I buy
two
a book and
boxes.
cards off you?
Unfortunately, Ben, unfortunately, I've already organized like a full swap with a mate. So we're both buying a box and we're swapping minis. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Now,
Don't threaten me with a good time.
yeah, but it went from disappointed to sultry faster than you could blink. But look, I'll
It's
talk to
fine.
John.
Look,
I'll see what he's got.
I got to touch them last night and play with them and the cards and the mission deck. And look, I know they say some of the secondaries are randomized, some are, you pick two. Look, we just picked two. And I'm actually looking forward to the random element, except for, being a knights player. I don't want behind enemy knight lines or anything like that. The deployments all look fairly similar. And I also wanted to talk about Battleshock. Sorry to stop talking about your RTT, which I'm sure is going to be amazing, that I didn't get an invite to, that I won't be there for, that I could have come up for. I could have found an excuse to come up for, and I totally would have come, but I didn't get an invite, so I won't be there. So it's all good, man. But I did put a bed in the front room of my place. If you do happen to convince your lovely wife to come down for Uprising next year, we are ready for you. Anyway, Battleshock. My
Look,
opponent had to take 9 Battleshock tests. Guess how many he failed?
none.
None.
What is
What
Battleshock? For
impact?
the for the for
Okay,
the
for the noob,
ill-informed.
for the
Okay, that's me, but
ill-informed.
thanks, Ben.
Okay, all right. So if you have a unit and it gets below 50% its starting position, and this could be a single unit too. So if you've got a vehicle with 24 wounds and it gets below half wounds, you have to take a Battleshock test. And you have to roll on two dice above its LD characteristic. So when you're talking Space Marines, generally that's 6. So you have to roll higher than 6 on two dice. Now, that's going to be fantastic if you're a Space Marine player. And Liam Fletcher rolled 9 Battleshock tests, and I was running the math while he was playing, and he passed all of them. Now, the peculiar thing about it is it happens in every command phase that you have to take this test. So it's your command phase, it's my command phase. Just think, anytime someone gets a CP, you have to take a Battleshock test. And so the purpose of the game very swiftly becomes, I want to wipe out a unit. No. I want to deplete units to 50% strength to force battle shock tests at every command phase of the game. Now, what happens as a result of you being battle shocked? Let's say you fail that test, and there are strats to have instant passes, and you know there are ways you can manipulate it. But you know, CP is not as abundant as it was before. You lose the objective secured ability. So if you are five models out of a 10-man squad standing on an objective, and you fail your battle shock, and your opponent has one model with an OC of one, then guess what? You are no longer objective secured, and no strats can be used on you whilst you are shocked. Now, next command phase, you take another battle shock test, you might pass it. Guess what? Now you are OBSEC, and strats can be used on you. But it adds a new flavor to the game, and it forces your, I guess, things like split fire, how you shoot, if you've got lower leadership armies, and I'm gonna guess that they could be like GSC, Orcs, things that are generally a little bit more rabid. You may force your opponent into less OBSEC, and yeah. Then there's another layer of it, desperate escape. So let's say you're in the fight phase and you want to fall back. You have to make a desperate escape test, and that's when, you know, models tend to run off the table. If you roll ones or twos and you're shocked, then, you know, models die. Like the old vintage, you know, 18th, 19th century, you know, England versus Napoleon. Troops get scared, they run away, the enemy starts chasing them down. That's, I guess, the flavor they're trying to recreate. And it makes total sense. Because you look at modern warfare, if a unit started with 20 men and it was down to, you know, less than 10, they're going to start getting really concerned. They've just lost a lot of their comrades. They're not going to be fighting with that same level of confidence, are they?
No, they're not.
It's going to have a psychological impact. And it's a test of metal strength and psychology and all these other things. So I think it's actually a very good flavor. And it's something that you need to think about when you're list building is where am I going to put this unit? How am I going to expose them? How am I going to manage casualties? Like things like apothecaries and the like are going to become very prevalent. Tech Marines getting vehicles back up to, you know, over 50% strength. It's great. It's flavor.
You're speaking super Imperium to me here. Apothecaries and Tech Marines and things like that. I don't know if you noticed this, but...
Sorry. Bone Singers and...
See, they're legend, mate. They're legend. Unfortunately, I was so... the Bone Singer.
Hang on. I just opened this box that you sent me here. I've got an intact Bone Singer here in a OG... I'm going to guess this is from the 90s. Blister pack.
Early 2000s is when the Bone Singer limited release came out, and that is one of the legit blister pack OG, not the made to order that came out back in 2018.
I remember when these models would sit OG. On the racks.
Yep, and they had their letters that correspond to the money.
Yep.
That was my little present to you as a legitimate
thank you.
OG Bone Singer, because I think you're a rad dude, and if you're going to start Eldar, you definitely need one of them. But Battleshock sounds like another new way to... I'm not going to say improve the game, because I don't necessarily think that every new thing improves the game, but enhance and alter the game.
Yeah, enhance and alter. Look, the psychic phase has been removed, but that hasn't removed the...
Pull one out for the psychic phase.
Yeah, correct. It's, you know, psychers still do their thing. They still do their smarty smart smites. It's more of an attack than a phase. Look,
yeah.
And I was always a fan. Yeah, the psychic phase was the third way to kill your opponent. There was three chances. There was psychic shooting combat.
Yeah.
And look, I'm notwithstanding movement, but now take psychic out, add battle shock. Battle shock to me is that replacement psychic flavor. Your heavily psychic armies like, you know, T-Sun's Eldar,
Grey Knights.
Grey Knights, look, they're still going to have some psychic flavour, and they're still going to be able to do some pretty janky things. It's just not going to be a separate phase in which you get to stack all those mortal wounds. Shout out to T-Sons, who I fucking hated. Oh, hey, here's 18 mortals, and now I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, look, I watched
my flamers.
I watched Liam Hackett go on a tear at ATC last year with 1,000 Suns and just come and go, oh yeah, I just did like 36 mortal wounds. And I was like, cool. If you did that against my army, I would have a quarter of my army. It would literally be a third of my army dead in one psychic phase. I'd be like, oh, cool. So, look, I'm coming to terms with the loss of my beloved psychic phase, but I guess I can't sit here and preach that, you know, change is good and then whinge about that change. So you will hear on the next podcast a new and improved Michael who extols the virtues of how the psychic phase has been incorporated. And I'm really excited to see how my Eldar go on the weekend and how I deal with battle shock, knowing that Eldar are not a low, not a high, but kind of like a medium leadership.
What's their LD stat in the main? Like, across there,
I'm gonna say
seven.
Is it seven? When it says seven plus, does that mean you can like anything?
Yeah. So yeah, if you get a seven or higher, you pass battle shock. So Space Marines who are inherently, you know, great, brave with leadership matters. You know, only in death does duty end. Blah blah blah, and they shall know no fear. All the catch cries, there are six. Same with the Imperial Knights that I ran last night, and there are buffs that you can get, like enhancements to make it five.
Yeah, okay. So I guess Eldar's probably seven-ish, except for the Wraith constructs. They're normally a bit braver because, you know, they are just souls. There's no blood to chill. So, look, I'm excited for the RTT this weekend, mate, because I'm going to play probably just two, because we're not rushing, we're not forcing ourselves, but at least two, maybe three games against some mates in a really chill setting. I'm going to run like one list that I think someone else should run for a teams tournament, and then I'm literally looking, Ben, there is 45 Wraith Guard in a tray. I'm actually going to pull the tray down just so you can envision this tray. But here is my tray of Wraith Guard.
You've got a problem.
And I have not put enough of them on the table yet, so I might
You've
just
got
have
a problem.
To put them stupidly. No, I have a solution, and the solution is I have enough Wraith Guard.
Would it be too fascist of me to say you need a final solution?
Look, my Jewish ancestors are crying out right now, and I'm dying a little bit on the inside, so we will not say about the final solution. The final solution is that the Monkey gives us back our craft worlds. That's the final solution.
Yeah, okay. Yeah? All right, well, I came in peace.
You
work
left in
equals
pieces.
Freedom. Work equals freedom. Albuch mach frei.
Work will set you free.
Yeah. No. All right, let's not talk about the war,
and
especially with the Dutch.
To the next one.
On to the next one. We've probably got about 3 minutes left.
I guess I'll do a quick prelude. There's like I was saying earlier, you were off doing whatever it is Ben does when I go off on a tangent, but there is a teams tournament in Queensland happening next weekend that is running 10th edition rules. The fantastic Josh McGowan's running it out of Fitzy's Logan home at Tanami'ra, so if you're in Queensland and you're free that weekend, I highly recommend you go check it out. Check it out for me. I'll live vicariously through you. I'll be driving up to the sunny coast to spend some time with my dad, but that's probably going to be our first big team event data already. I think there's at least 17 teams, maybe 18 teams signed up. So that's already 90 people in a teams tournament that are ready to go. I'm assisting one team with a little bit of recommendations for list building. I wouldn't say I'm coaching them. I'm just giving them a bit of help. I'm watching another few teams get made. I'm in groups just because that's just where I end up. I'm supplying two full armies and one of the accursed Wraith Knights to someone else for a third army. Like, I'll be there in spirit and models, if not in flesh. So that's happening there. Ben and I will have, I guess, hopefully a little bit more consistent podcast uploads without all the things that are coming in between it. And I'm going to have a huge recap about my weekend. But what about you, Ben? What's next for you? Painting some GSC?
The GSC are down on my painting desk. I've ordered those bases from you. Well, I've told you what I need to rebase some of them.
I've ordered the bases.
It will be a quick journey for a lot of the Neos, and the same with the trucks. I know what I'm up against now. I've sort of pushed the June riders to the side because I don't... Well, it's probably I actually need you to look at the index and tell me what your list construct looks like, or your next conversation with Eric Lathouris, just to see what he thinks, and then and build around that. It was good to see Stuart Trainer at Terracon put in carving his description. Stuart Eric from Wish Trainer. Wish. he did play second to Adam Napier, who Adam Napier plays first under controversial circumstances. We can talk about the war another time, maybe.
Yes.
There was a bit of scandal at Terracon. Not that, what happens at Terracon stays at Terracon, but...
including our recordings, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, notwithstanding that. Anyway, just to wrap up, shout out to Phil Wessels at Dragon's Lair St. Mary's, hosting me last night and letting me play against Liam Fletcher on his great tables, and hooking me up with all that Eldar stuff that is going to end up in a bucket of isopropyl, being fully stripped and then displayed in front of my friend Michael here to tell me what I need to paint sooner rather than later. And if you did hear the middle of the episode, you would have heard the password, so send us a message once you've liked, shared, and subscribed to the podcast and Michael for our other co-sponsor.
Jonathan. John Irresistible Force. Absolutely fantastic guy. What he has asked from anyone who buys anything and has heard of us on the podcast or anything like that, just let him know in the comments section if you're doing online order or face-to-face. Just say, hey, heard from you, heard about you, loved what they said about you on The Gathering Storm, just so we can kind of track to make sure that we are making a contribution for him and that he's definitely getting something for his investment as well. Look, he's a linchpin of the community. I would not have been able to have half the opportunities I've had without him, from burgeoning TOs to being sponsored to product supply. Like, he's just been absolutely fantastic. So make sure you give our sponsors some love, because they're helping us immensely. And
final thought, Phil said, you're a prick, Ben. And I said, why? He goes, The Gathering Storm cost me $400. I'm like, why? He goes, someone in Queensland remembered that they had a voucher that they won at a tournament of at my shop, and they redeemed it. And I'm like,
ah. Oh, he better hope Liam Hackett doesn't find his stash of bloody gift vouchers. Yeah, I think Liam's got about $3,000.
All of a sudden, FLGS everywhere in Australia goes bankrupt. Liam cashes in his prizes.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah. We'd all be broke.
All right, guys. Thanks very much. It's been 46 minutes, 52 seconds and counting. Thanks for bearing with us. This podcast will be up, and then we'll get the Terracon one up.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Inshallah.
We'll catch you all next week.
See ya.